Good morning, everybody. Good to hear you. I hope it's good to hear me this morning. I pray that you've had a blessed week. I know it's been a different week, and we're learning as we go, feeling our way through this corona and COVID-19 situation. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we in our hearts choose to be glad in it. And so before we get going with our singing and our service this morning, I'm going to ask Brother Otis Bowen, if he would, to come lead us in a word of prayer.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Facebook, Thomas Bennett Baptist Church. Times are different today, this week, and it's probably times that none of us have seen before, like situations, and we hear more every day. But God is with us through it all. Jesus is still on the throne.
Amen.
He still loves us, and He still died for our sins, and we have a lot to look forward to even today. If you're not here present, you're here in spirit. The Bible tells us that where as many as two or more are gathered in His name, He will be amongst us. So God is with us today. So we're just thankful you're listening, and we pray that you're doing okay. And if those that are sick in our church family, you need to notify your deacons and our pastor. But we just pray today for so many situations in our world, not just in our communities. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and just thank Him for this day. Father God, we just come thanking You for another day. We thank You, Lord, for being our Savior. We thank You, Jesus, for dying for our sins. We thank You, Father, for sending Your only Son to die for our sins and take our sins and wash them as white as snow. Father, we just ask You to be with those out there that are in Facebook land and our church members, our community. Lord, we're going through difficult times in so many ways, and You'll see us through it. I was thinking coming to church this morning in the Old Testament that they often said, we've never seen times like this. And we all probably could utter that. We've never seen times like this. But God, we know You're our sustainer, our keeper, our Lord, our Savior. And we know our trust is not in this world. It is in You and You alone. For You made this world and You know all about it more than we do. But nothing catches You by surprise. You know all things. You see all things. And You can do all things, yes, God. We just ask You to be with us today during this service and be with those out there that may be hurting physically, financially, spiritually. But Lord, we just ask You to be with those that know You not as Savior. If there's one watching who knows You not as Savior, may they turn their life to You. May they look like You. May they want to be like You. And Father, we just thank You so much that we can do this through Facebook, over the air. But most of all, we just thank You for loving us another day, being our Lord and our Savior. We just ask You to be with us, and thank You for hearing our prayers and our petitions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Otis. This morning we're going to sing page 138 at Calvary. If you know it at home, you sing it there and make your house a house of worship this morning. But before we do sing it, I want to challenge you to do something. If you're watching with us right now, won't you take your phone and text somebody, a member of the church or maybe a loved one, text them and ask them, are they in church somewhere or are they watching a church? And if they're not, challenge them to turn over on Facebook to Thomas Village Baptist Church and have them join in with us. The more the merrier, all right? It's good to know that the church today is not a building or a facility, but it is the people. It's the ecclesia, those that have been called out and bought through the blood of Jesus Christ. But let's sing together at Calvary this morning, all right? Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen. Amen. Hopefully you've got your text back by now that you've sent, and they're telling you that they're joining right now to be a part of us. This morning we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And as you're turning there, I just want to kindly go through a few things just to kindly remind you of some things. Now, first thing is I want to tell all of you thank you for checking in on me and Amy this week as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 11. It was kind of difficult for me last Sunday to make the decision to close service down. And I don't like closing service. Matter of fact, the doors are open. But we recommend you stay at home. But if you get out, know that the doors are open. I got home after last Sunday morning service and had a temperature of 102.5. And so God kindly confirmed that that was the right thing to do. And then the next day I went to the doctor's office and they said that I had walking pneumonia. And so I've been on the antibiotics this week, took them all like I was supposed to, don't have any left, and still got a little bit of congestion and coughing, but thankful for the calls and the text and everything that y'all checked in on me and Amy. She had it as well. As you're turning to Hebrews 11, also we do want to remind you to stay in. Basically, from what we've heard and read, the only way that we're really going to get through this situation and get it behind us is for it to basically play itself out. And a part of that is us self-quarantining, self-isolating, and doing our best to stay away from anyone. If you look on the map, we've been very blessed. We've kindly been isolated as you're turning to Hebrews 11. But as of yesterday, I know, maybe Friday, but yesterday I know that there has been two confirmed cases of COVID-19 over in Lee County. So it's close to us. So stay in the house. Also, me and Amy have been trying to make contact with all of the households of Thomas Village Baptist Church. Well, I think we've got a few left to go, but just know that we're just wanting to check on you, see how you're doing, and talk with you, have a word of prayer with you, and all that. But some of the numbers aren't right. We'll be trying to figure that out, but. We also, another reason is because especially if you're in a compromised physical situation, as you're turning to Hebrews 16, if you have issues such as diabetes, or if you have issues with your immune system, maybe you're a senior citizen, if you need food, if you need something, don't go out, don't get out. Me and Amy and some of our deacons will be more than willing to go get you some groceries, to get you what you need, but we want you to be taking care of yourself right now, okay? So don't hesitate to call us. Also, if you're like me, not having services and the church not being open kind of leaves a void in your life. And so what we're doing is we're going to try to have more opportunities over the Facebook, Internet, Zoom, different things like that. We're going to try to have more opportunities for fellowship and Bible study and all that. Talking with the deacons about maybe every day doing a devotional of an afternoon and kind of giving you some updates and some prayer needs and some things like that. Also, I'm discussing with the deacons that if the weather permits it, maybe next Sunday that we might can have a drive-in service where I'll preach and you just stay in your car. You drive up in here and park in the parking lot, and if nothing else, if they give you somewhere to go, even if you have to stay in your car. But just be praying that if it be God's will, that everything work out there. Also, as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 11, if you don't remember, if you don't get anything else from today's message, remember these three things. Nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus has done for you. And if you'll open up your life to Him today, He'll do even greater things than you can imagine. All right. I think I heard an amen to that one somewhere out there. All right, we're in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And before we get going, I'm going to ask you to stand with me and stretch, raise your hands up a little bit. If you've been in the house for the past week, I know you're stiff, reach to the floor, and just loosen yourself up, all right? And we're going to get ready to go into God's Word. This morning, we're going to be talking about living by faith. Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying to his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaks. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again, if we had a title, it would simply be Living by Faith. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, in the name and wonderful and precious name of Jesus, I thank you for this day. I come before you confessing to you my inadequacies, my inabilities to accomplish the task at hand, which is to declare your word in power and in truth and in boldness, unless, Holy Spirit, you do it through me. And go, Lord, we're thankful, as Brother Otis has already said, where two or more are gathered, there you've promised to be in the midst. And so again, Lord, I invite you not only to simply be in this building today, but God, I also ask that you go through Facebook. God, that you go over the airwaves and through the through the lines and all, whatever it is, God, that You in Your presence be made known in the houses, in the homes, and in the hearts of those that's listening. Lord, I pray blessings over our nation today. And God, we bind with the others that are praying as we speak, that You hold back this sickness, Lord, that You let it run its toll. And Lord, You could even right now, and what a testimony it would be that if You just touched America and that all coronavirus be gone. Heavenly Father, Lord, what an amazing thing it would be. And God, I pray that we would give You the glory. But Lord, I'm thankful for the You've kept it low on the death tolls. Lord, I pray for those families that have lost someone, that are sick. But God, today we've gathered in Your name. We've gathered for the purpose to learn from Your Word. And so again, Lord, I pray for those that are here. I pray for those that are listening online. And God, in all things, we ask that Your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This passage of Scripture this morning, we're basically going to focus on verses 1 through 3, and then again we'll pick up in verse 6. But in those verses 4 and 5, it kind of gives us an idea of what the whole chapter is about and what it's like. But I kind of want us to jump back a little bit, because this week has probably been one of the most strange and unusual weeks that not just myself, but most of America has ever been through. This is being basically the first time, the first week, that we're living under the new reality of the coronavirus. Schools have been canceled. Some are practicing their careers in a whole different way, whether they're doing it from home. I know there's some that are rotating where some from the business will go in one day and then others will go in the next and the next. And some are laid off. Some don't even know when they're going to go back to work. I talked with someone last week that they were going to be laid off work, but praise God, the company they worked for was going to be able to give them sick leave and to take care of them. I think we're seeing some of the class of America come out in the midst of this. But then also, churches are mainly being held online. I know that there's a few churches that's going on. I know it's been said by some that not having church is a lack of faith, but I don't see it that way. Believe you me, I believe in faith, and we're going to talk about faith this morning, but I also believe that God has given us common sense, and that if we know what to do, but we don't do it, then it's on us. The reality of it is. And then toilet paper has risen to a value probably unseen before. I think the only thing that's more valuable than toilet paper right now is gold itself, and then toilet paper right underneath it. Amy went to Walmart this week and said that she was there when the new toilet paper come in, and within 15 minutes, toilet paper was wiped out. But I tell you what, there's going to be a stock up of toilet paper when everything's said and done. But it's been a weird week, and it leaves some of us, just like I was talking about with church. You know, if our church is being canceled, and I know for students and teachers, school has been canceled, and then sports and activities like that, clubs meeting together, it kind of leaves our life empty. It kind of leaves our life void. And if you think about it, we're in a place that America has never been before. Our grandparents didn't know anything about this. Our great-grandparents didn't know anything about this. We're in a place that we're really having to figure it out as we go along. Last week I discussed with the businesses being closed, major sporting events being shut down, the stock market, and the overall sense of uncertainty. The only thing that's really comparable to it is when 9/11 happened, that when the terrorists come down, and this is almost like a terrorist attack because it tries to bring fear on us and leave us in uncertainty. And so if you remember last week, we looked at Christ Jesus' perspective on fear. We looked over in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, and we looked at some things. But remember, the first thing that we recognized in Scripture is that there are at least, depending on your translation, but there are at least 365 fear nots in Scripture. For every day of the year, for every morning we wake up, there is a fear not that God has given us. But then as we begin to look at the Scripture, and we know that it was in the Sermon on the Mount, we saw four basic things that Christ teaches us in that passage as it comes to fear and us living and facing fear. The first thing is that we don't have to be fearful about our life. That's how He starts it out, about our physical life. He says, take no thought on your life. Don't worry about your life. And as Christians, we don't have to be overly concerned with our physical being, because Jesus has bought us with His blood, and that we are His, and He has put a claim, a stake on our life, and that He has taken the role of a caretaker. Just as a father or a mother would a child, that is the role that Jesus Christ has given us. All we have to worry about is being His children, and He promises to take care of everything else. So we don't have to be fearful when it comes to our physical life. We don't have to be fearful over what we're going to eat, over our physical needs. Jesus said, just as He feeds the birds, that they don't plant a garden, they don't sow, they don't harvest, but yet that He feeds them well, and He takes care of them. And the same is true for you and I. As followers of Christ Jesus, He's promised to meet all of our needs. Now, it's kind of like my children sometimes. They may not be thrilled with what we've cooked for supper and what's on the table, but there's food provided for them. And God, He makes sure that He's going to take care of us. So Jesus, when it comes to fear, we don't have to be fearful about our physical life. We don't have to be fearful over physical needs. And then He goes also to say we don't have to be fearful over our material needs. He presses on to clothing. And you think about it. We as parents can't always meet the wants of our children, but there are times when we want to. And there's times where we can and we enjoy it. And if you'll remember Jesus talking about the lilies or the flowers of the field, how beautiful they are, and that Solomon in all his glory was never as beautifully clothed as the flowers of the fields are. And he goes on to say that if he would clothe a flower so beautifully, and then one day it's here and the next day it's cut down and thrown in the furnace, how much more would he take care of us and meet our material needs? So we don't have to worry about our lives. We don't have to worry about our physical needs. We don't have to worry about our material needs. Now, that's not an excuse for us to be lazy or for us to work, but it's a promise that God has gave us, Christ has given us. And then lastly, what we learned is this. He talks about take no thought of today, take no thought of tomorrow, because tomorrow's worries are good enough for tomorrow. We don't have to worry about our life, our physical needs, our material needs. And then lastly, worry simply doesn't accomplish anything. It does us no good. He talks about how many of us can add a year to our life or an inch to our height. I read in a commentary that it's kind of like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it never gets you anywhere. And that's the way worry is. And so today, I kind of want to build off what we talked about last week. I want us to move from fear to the issue of living by faith. Living, last week it was about living without fear, and this week it's living by faith. And here's the fact. If we are fearful of something, then whatever that something is, whatever we're fearful of, then we are giving it authority, control, and a place in our life. We is letting it have a position in our life. So while at the same time, whatever that is, we're giving it authority, we're giving it control, we're giving it power and a place in our life, at the same time, we are taking control, we're taking power, we're taking authority away from Christ Jesus. Because either we're going to fear God and put all our trust in Christ Jesus, or we're either going to fear this, that, and the other, and let it have the authority in our life. I mean, think about it. When we do that, when we're fearful of what if coronavirus, whatever it might be, loss of a job, and then there's everyday concerns. But what we're doing is that we're taking faith away from Christ Jesus. We're making less of who He is. We're making less of what He has done for us. And we're making less of the promises that He has made us. I mean, just think about this for a second. When we are fearful of death, we see death as having more power than Christ. When we're fearful of being broke, when we're fearful of not having money, then what we're saying is that we're giving the authority to the money instead of Christ Jesus. And when we're fearful of sickness, what we're saying to Christ is that I'm going to give the authority to this sickness. I'm going to give the authority and power to this sickness, and I'm going to take a little bit of it away from you to give to it. So today, as we talk about living by faith, being fearful or whatever, and remember, we said that there's some fears that are good. Praise God. The fear of hell brings a lot of people to seek out who Christ is. The fear of a stove keeps us from leaning up on a hot eye on it. But today, as we're living in this time, a time of unsettlingness, a time of questions, a time that we've never been in before, we need to recognize that fear is going to come, but in that time of fear, we can either choose to let it have the authority, or we can either choose to place our faith in Christ Jesus. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, it's known as the faith chapter. Faith is defined, but then it goes on, and it also contains what's called the heroes of the faith. If you see, it says Abel gave the best gift of his flock, and even in death, he declares his faith in Christ Jesus. See, he didn't give any power to Abel, or he didn't give any power to his emotions at that time. He chose to honor God. And then there's Noah. Noah built the ark when there was no such thing, as we have been told, that there's never had been a hard rain at that time, and surely there had never been a flood. But in that time, instead of giving in to peer pressure, he chose to listen to God. It says that Abraham, he left home at God's command, trusted God when everything seemed to say otherwise. Life, in his situation in life, he did not allow it to control him, but he allowed his faith in God to motivate him. And then his wife, Sarah, we're told at the age of about 100 that she gave birth to Isaac, that she had faith. And then there's Moses, the deliverer of and leader of the Israelites out of Egypt. And he didn't let his past stand in his way, but he had faith in God. And then there's Rahab, the Jericho prostitute that saved the lives of the Israelites' spies. And remember, she was not an Israelite. She could have chose to go with her nationality. Or I'd say if she was willing to turn in the spies, she probably could have got a reward there. But yet she chose to trust God in the midst of that. And it goes on to talk about Enoch and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Gideon, Barak, Japheth, David, and Samuel. But then the one that really surprises me out of all of them, and that's Samson. If there's any life that you see in the Old Testament that's an example of self and self-indulgence, it's Samson's life. Everything was about Samson and him fulfilling his physical pleasures. But yet, when it come to the end of his life, his final moment, he put God first, and he humbled himself and allowed God to use him greater in his death than he did at any time in his life. So we see these heroes of faith. So this morning, I believe that God wants us to be heroes of the faith. Now, we may never have our name written down in a chapter of the book, but I promise you this, it's more important when we get to heaven to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," than it is to have your name written in a book. So the first thing I want us to do, talk about today, is that we're going to try to define what faith is. We're going to try to talk about what faith is. And I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard a little bit, because some of these words in the King James can kind of get a little bit confusing. But the first thing faith is knowing what seems to be unknowable. Faith is knowing what seems to be unknowable. Look there in the first verse. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." The Christian Standard says, "Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for." What did you just say, preacher? I said that faith is knowing what seems to be unknowable. See, the idea, we live in a world that tells us there's a lot of facts there's a lot of things that we cannot know. There's a lot of stuff that just is going to be unanswered. Matter of fact, we live in a time of relativity that tells us that there are no absolute truths. So if there are no absolute truths, then how can you really know anything at all? But when we have faith, when we live by faith, we should be able to tell the world what they tell us is unknowable. What they tell us is not a fact or a reality. We need to be able to say what you say is unknowable is something that I know for a fact. It's a foundational truth in my life. It's a reality whether you want to believe it or not. I know what God has confirmed in me. Now, and the example of this, we see it more as an example than we can define it. Now remember, faith is the reality of things that are hoped for. Now, I want you to think about Noah and the ark. He is listed here as a hero of the faith. But think about this. According to the MacArthur Study Bible, the ark was around 450 feet long. It was around 75 feet wide, and it was 45 feet high. You figure all that up, and basically inside the ark there was 1.4 million cubic feet. In fact, from what I've read, that was the biggest ship that would ever be built up until the 1700s and 1800s. But now think about that. So basically, he's got this big box that he's built. But not only that, it says that of regular animals, he was going to take two of each. Basically, a breeding pair, a matched pair, so that after the flood came, that they would be able to continue on and the animals would be fill the earth. But then of certain animals, he was told to take seven of clean animals. Meaning that they were to take some that were for breeding stock, but others was for sacrifices. Others to give back to the Lord. John MacArthur said, and I don't know where he got this estimate from, but he's smarter than I am. And so he said that a good estimate would be 72,000 animals inside that. Now, continue to think about this. You've also got food. You've also got manure that you're going to have to deal with and all that stuff. But then, so we think about how big it is, 1.4 million cubic feet, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. But then think about this. They didn't have power saws. They didn't have nails. They didn't have screwdrivers. They didn't have all that stuff. Everything that was done to build this ark had to be done by hand. And he probably had his sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, I believe, are the three names. But still, with that many men, from what I've read, probably took around 100 years for him to build that. Now listen what it says about Noah over in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 5. And remember, we're thinking about faith is knowing what is seemingly unknowable. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, "And if he," meaning God, "did not spare the ancient world, but protected Noah," listen, "a preacher of righteousness, and seven others," his sons, their wives, and Noah's wife, "when he brought them from the flood of the ungodly." Now listen, it said that he was a preacher of unrighteousness. So let's get this picture. Up until this point, there had not really been any heavy rains. There was a heavy dew at times, and there might have been sprinkling. But there had never been a deluge of rain. And then on top of that, the idea of a flood, there had not been a flood. And so in the middle of dry land, Noah begins to build this ark, this huge thing. And the people around him, they were going around about their everyday life. They were sinning and enjoying their sinning. They were marrying and giving in marriage. And don't you reckon I bet he became the fool of the neighborhood. Don't you think? And they would probably walk by the little kids on their bicycles or whatever. They'd look at old dummy Noah. He's lost his mind building a boat on dry land. And then his friends would come by and say, "Noah, why don't you just give this thing up? We ain't never had much of a rain, and you're talking about a flood. We don't even know what a flood is." much less going to see one. And so probably, now think about it, 100 years. He was 600 when the flood came. For 100 years, they were telling him, what you're saying is going to happen is impossible. We've never seen it before. We've never done it before. But notice, Noah didn't give in to the peer pressure. Noah believed that judgment from God was coming. The world didn't believe in a flood. The world might have thought he was foolish. But you see, the faith that Noah had in God allowed him to know what was seemingly unknowable. You see, because Noah believed God, he knew something else that other people wouldn't know. It was by faith that Noah cut down the trees. It was by faith that Noah built the ark. It was by faith that Noah raised up his children and them believing that a flood was coming. It was by faith that Noah rounded up the animals and rounded up their food. It was by faith that Noah made the pitch so that he could make the ark watertight. And even to the point that it was by faith that Noah got into that and the Lord closed it. You see, faith makes us know or allows us to know what is seemingly unknowable. We're living in a time right now where I think the media is playing on our fears. I believe that they're telling us this, they're telling us that, they're wanting us to question our president, they're wanting us to question our government, because we just don't know. Well, praise God, on the inside of us, we can be like Noah. I may not know how it's going to turn out, but I do know this, that God is in control. He's on the throne. He's not wringing His hands. He's not having to call Congress. He's not having to call the UN or anything like that. He is in utter control. And you know what? He knew hundreds of years ago that the coronavirus was going to hit the coast of America and that we were going to have this time. And you know what? The Bible says not only did He know it, but for each and every one of us who know Him, that He has gone and He's prepared us a way through the midst of this time. Whether it be your job, whether it be your health, whether it be fear, whatever it is, praise God, when we are living by faith, faith allows us to know what is seemingly unknowable. Now, as we move on a little bit further, we'll stay right there in verses 1. Man, I didn't even use half of my point on that one, and I used most of my time. What in the world? Number 2, faith goes beyond our 5 senses. Faith goes beyond our 5 senses. Look there in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it is the evidence of things not seen, or it is proof of what is not seen. We live in a world that is defined by what is called observable science, meaning that basically everything that we know or want to know or what we believe, it must be physically tested, physically measured. And therein we see the function and purpose, and so it's logical and it makes sense to us. Another way of saying it is that as a species, we have become totally dependent on our senses. And if it cannot be proven by our senses, then it must not be true. Now think about it, our 5 senses. We see, we smell, we taste, we touch, and we hear. And now you've probably heard it before. I've heard it before. If I cannot see it with my own 2 eyes, if I cannot hear it with my own 2 ears, if I can't feel it with my own 2 fingers, I hope you got more than 2 fingers. I have 5 and I pray you do as well. But if I can't touch it with my own fingers, then I'm not going to believe it. But here's the thing. I watch this show called Brain Games sometimes, and I like to be fooled sometimes. But it doesn't take a lot, and it's been proven that the eyes can be tricked. You can look at one picture and they'll have the same 2 lines, but basically what's around them affects what you see as the longer one and the shorter one. The same thing as our ears. Our ears can be deceived. I don't know how many of you's ever played the gossip game, but when I was in the teens class, we'd play it, and you'd have a line of about 20 people, and you'd start on one end whispering in somebody's ear, and by the time it got to the other end through the 20 people, it was far from what it had started out being. You see, it's easy for our ears to be deceived. And I tell you something else. What we think we feel versus what we actually feel can often be different. I've watched them on that brain games and things like that, and they'll have them stick their hands into a box and they can't see it, and they'll feel it and they'll say it's so and so or it's this and that, and they'll be completely opposite of what it is. But I want you to listen to what the Bible says about God and the Holy Spirit. John chapter 4 verse 24, it says, God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Then in John 13, verses 6 through 8, it says, John 3, verses 6 through 8, it says, whoever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whoever is born of the Spirit is spirit. But do not be amazed that I have told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with the Holy Spirit. Now see, think about the wind. We cannot see the wind. We can see what it does. We can hear how it blows. But you know what? We can't catch it. We can't put it in a bottle and hold on to it. All we can do at our best is manipulate it to use it for our own being. But then I want you to think about the idea of a spirit, because the Bible says that God is a spirit, and those of us that are saved, we have to be given the new life by the person of the Holy Spirit. But think about a spirit. A spirit does not have a physical form, meaning that you're not going to lay your hands on him and feel him. Think about it. A spirit cannot be contained. It cannot be grasped. Most of the time when we think about a spirit, we think about them being clear, or at least a little idea of a cloud or something like that, but they're not easily seen. And a spirit is free to move, to go wherever it wants to and do whatever it wants to. So see, today, if we're dependent, and I'm going to tell you this, a lot of people are being defeated because they're trying to live for God by going by a feeling. They want to feel the goosebumps run up and down their back. And I like that. I enjoy that. There's been times that I've run. You've heard me shout. I'll kick and all that. But praise God, faith is bigger than our senses. Praise God, faith allows us. Remember, the unknowable is made known. And so faith has got to be bigger than our senses. If we trust God and we believe in God, He's going to be good every day. It's not going to be based on what situation we're in, how we're feeling, what we see. I mean, even with John the Baptist, think about when John the Baptist, remember at the end of his life, he was cast into prison and ended up getting his head cut off. But you remember what the final things he said, one of the last messages he sent to Christ Jesus, is he said this. Now, this is the very one who baptized Jesus and was the forerunner of Jesus. But one of the last questions he asked was, are you He, meaning are you the Messiah, or should we look for another? You know what had happened? He was depending on his senses in that time. He was in jail. He was depressed. But see, Jesus sent him word back. And praise God, Jesus didn't jump on him. He just simply said, go back and tell him what you've seen, what you've heard. You see that when we have faith, we're going to serve Him. Why? Because we love Him. Because we trust Him. Not because we feel like serving Him today. Not because He showed us a sign yesterday, meaning that we're to live for Him today. No, He showed us that sign back on Calvary. That's the sign. That's the only sign we need. And the empty grave. But I want to tell you this, not only does it have to do with our service of Christ Jesus and how we live for Him, but praise God, His promises and our future are greater than our five senses. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart can conceive, what God has prepared for those who love Him. I want you to take a minute. I want you to use your spiritual imagination. I want you to think about what is the greatest gift you've ever seen somebody get, or the greatest gift that somebody could give you right now? You thinking about it? Don't get too excited. All right, think about this. Think of the finest house you've ever saw. The greatest house. Maybe you've been in it. Maybe it's the Biltmore. Maybe you think about the Biltmore or castle. But think about the greatest gift that could ever be given or received. Think about the biggest and finest house you've ever saw or ever been in. And then lastly, I want you to think about the best time you've ever had. The best time you've ever had. I want you to take all of those things. You're in that finest house. You're receiving that greatest gift. And it's the best time you're ever having. All that together, well, guess what? None of that comes close. Glory. None of that comes close to what God has in store for you and I who are His children. Our minds cannot fathom the beauty of heaven. Our minds cannot fathom the gifts that He has in store for us. Our minds cannot contain how great eternity is going to be. We don't have the ability in and of ourselves to understand how good and how loving He is to us and what He wants to give us. You see, faith allows us to know what is seemingly unknowable. But faith, if we're living by faith, then faith is going to go beyond our five senses. Next thing. Faith is the confirmation of our Creator. Faith is the confirmation of our Creator. Look there in verse 3 of Hebrews 11. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Christian Standard says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made by that which is not seen. Some will say, well, many will say, that a belief in God and Scripture, a belief in Scripture, when it states that God made the world, that it's only an assumption and that it's really a weak foundation for Christianity and our theology. But I want to read you something else. Listen to this. Consider the overall worldly view, or what's accepted by science. The universe began as a very hot, small, and dense superforce. No stars, no atoms, no planets, no form. But then 13.8 billion years ago, this hot, small, dense superforce expanded very rapidly. That's where the idea of the Big Bang comes in. Thusly, in doing that, atoms, stars, planets, and galaxies was formed. But then on one of those planets, atoms came together and made a one-celled organism. And then that one-celled organism began to divide and become a multicelled organism. It became something like a tadpole or a fish. And then that fish one day crawled to land. And what once it had breathed oxygen through water now willed itself to have lungs. And from that, it began to walk on two legs instead of four. And from that, every creation, every living thing come from that, including humanity. Now, some would say the belief and the assumption that God's Word is true is weak. But I'm going to tell you what, that right there that I just read to you sounds more of a fairy tale than anything else. But listen to what it says. Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, through faith we understand. Now that word understand there means to perceive, comprehend, or know as a fact. So it says, because of our faith, we can know for a fact that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now what it's saying again, what some would say is unknowable, we know. How? Because faith confirms that we have a Creator, that we have a Creator. How does it confirm it? Now listen, we have that faith that lives within us. But listen, we have the authority of Scripture. You remember at the beginning of this year, we studied it. We choose to believe the Bible because it is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the time of eyewitnesses who report supernatural events that took place as the fulfillment of specific prophecies, declaring that their writings are of a divine origin rather than human origin. Eyewitnesses. Remember we talked about observable science before, if it cannot be seen or whatever. Well, you know what scientists, there's things that they can't see or retest. They take the words of men that have did it long ago and they've kept a catalog of it. Well, praise God, we're not doing any different when we believe the Word of God because this book has been written by eyewitnesses. Next though, we have the testimony of creation itself. Listen, Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Since what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, that is His eternal power and divine nature, has clearly been seen, the creation of the world, being understood through what He has made. As a result, people are without excuse. Now think about that. Creation declares that there is a Creator. You've heard me say this before, but you think about a watch. A watch has a lot of gears, it has a lot of springs, it has a lot of mechanisms in it. And if I was to take all the parts of a watch and throw it up in the air, how many times would I have to do it until it all fell down in the right way for it to be a functioning timepiece? It never happened. But yet that's what the world wants us to believe. But yet, the creation declares that there is a Creator. It tells us because of divine design, the way the things are set up. We have the testimony of Christ Jesus. Mark chapter 10, verse 6, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And we have the testimony of the Holy Spirit. John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide us into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. As we're talking about living by faith, what is faith? Faith is the knowing of what is seemingly unknowable. Faith is a power that goes beyond our five senses. Faith is the confirmation of the Creator. And then lastly, faith is less of an if and more of a where. Faith is less of an if and more of a where. Look there in verse 6 as we wrap it up. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In this passage, we see faith less as the idea of hope, confidence, and expectation. And we see it more as a motivation or an application. I mean, listen at the words. He said, faith is impossible to believe God, for he that comes to God must believe that He is. See the action of coming. And then there's also, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Another action. You think about these heroes of the faith. By faith, Abel offered a sacrifice to God. By faith, Abraham obeyed God. By faith, Moses chose to be mistreated. By faith, Moses considered the reproach of Christ as a reward. By faith, Moses was not afraid of the king. Because of their faith, they were motivated or they applied themselves to some sort of action. But again, in closing, I want you to think about that. Faith is more less an if and more of a where. Every person that has ever lived had faith and they placed it in something. Every person that has ever lived had faith and they placed it in something. The traditional Jews, they're still looking for a Messiah. But then when you think about they had faith, it also motivated them to do something. Think about it. Extreme Islam, extreme Muslims, they've placed their faith in Allah. And that motivated them to blow themselves up and to take others with them. Because they believed that they would earn a place in paradise if they did it. The atheists, They've placed their faith in the idea that there is no God. Therein, they don't have to worry about heaven and they don't have to worry about hell. After death, it is simply nothing. The agnostic, meaning those that believe there is a God, but you really can't know anything about Him, because they have a faith in that, then they're not worried about trying to seek and get a closer relationship with God. And they're just hoping that there's a paradise on the other side. What about the cultural Christians? Cultural Christians. Those that show up on Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, and then when their marriage or their youngins get sick or something like that, then they'll show up as well. Well, you see, what they've placed their faith in is a little prayer, knowing something a little bit about Jesus, and being baptized in the church's bathtub. And on that, they place that faith. They believe that they get out of hell free card and the life to live ever how they want to, because once saved, always saved. But yet it doesn't motivate them to live a different life. It doesn't motivate them to serve in church. And then there's the good old boys and the good old girls. These are the people that believe when we get to eternity, there's going to be a big old scale set up there on Judgment Day. And whatever you've done good is going to be put on one side, and whatever you've done bad is going to be put on the other side. And if you've done more good than bad, then you're going to go to heaven. And it'll probably be judged on a curve, because there's people like Hitler and Mussolini and all those folks, you know. So surely God will kind of put His finger on the good side a little bit. But you see, today, then you've got the scientists. They believe in the Big Bang and things like that. But you see, everybody is placing their faith in something. You who are listening out there today, you're placing your faith in something. But here's the thing about faith. Yes, it lets us know the unknowable, or what's seemingly unknowable. It goes beyond our five senses. It confirms that we have a Creator. But faith is only as good as the object behind it. And I'm going to close with this illustration. Let's say that I've got a chair that's weight capacity is 100 pounds. And I weigh 300 pounds. But I've got faith that that chair is going to hold me up. Do you think that when I sit down in that 100 pound capacity chair, that my faith is going to make up 200 pounds worth of living or lifting? No. What it's going to do is it's going to be busted all apart. I'm going to bust my hind end and I'm going to end up on the floor. Why? Because that's the reality. And see, today, if you're placing your faith in anything else other than Jesus Christ, then you're rolling or playing a dangerous game. You see, faith is less about if and more about where. It's not if you have faith today. I know you've got faith. My concern is where you're placing it. Faith lets us know what is seemingly unknowable. Faith allows us to go beyond our five senses. Faith gives us a confirmation as the creature with our Creator. And faith is more about where and not if. Again, we're living in uncharted waters. This is a place and time that we've never seen and no one's ever been through. And to be honest with you, it's easy to get distracted. I left here last Sunday talking about fear not. I get home and I run a fever of 102.5, and first thing that goes through my mind is I've got the coronavirus. COVID-19 has done jumped on me. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, put your money where your mouth is, big boy. But then there's also, it's easy to get distracted when you don't know what's going on with your job. You don't know what's going on with your school. I have pre-existing health problems, and if I get this, it's going to kill me. And then on top of that, you've got everyday life. The bills are still coming due. The youngins still have to go to the doctor. They still need clothes and all that. But remember, Faith is the reality of what's hoped for. It's the evidence or the proof of the unseen. Faith is knowing what is unknown. Faith is more than our five senses. It ties us to our Creator. But I want you to know some facts today, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what it looks like right now. Christ Jesus has defeated death, hell, and the grave, and sin. Christ Jesus spoke and made the wind stop blowing and told the waves to lay down, and they did. Jesus Christ called Lazarus out of the tomb and commanded demons to leave. He healed blood issues. He gave sight to the blind. He made lepers be made whole again. And there was many other sicknesses today. Praise God, COVID-19 is no stronger than what Jesus has already faced and defeated. And when it's time, He'll give us victory over it. But I'll hear some other things. Here's some more facts for you today. Jesus Christ is greater than the coronavirus. Jesus Christ is bigger and more powerful than all the things that you fear. Jesus Christ knows about your money situation, and He's going to meet your needs when it's time. Nothing is stronger, bigger, or more powerful than Jesus. You know what today? When you can't trust anything else, you can trust Jesus. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the one that was dead but is alive now and forevermore. Now, I want you to listen. I'm going to close with this today. If you need help with faith, just ask Him, and He said He'll help you. But I want you to listen to this, and I hope it encourages you, because these are the words from Jesus. Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. Hebrews 13:5, and be content with what you have, for He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And on top of all that, if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, every day that you wake up, God has a divine purpose for your life. As it says in Exodus 9:16, however, I have let you live for this purpose, to show you my power and to make my name known on all the earth. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, I pray today will be the day that you place your faith in Him. You don't have to call me. You don't have to call a deacon. All you got to do is say, Dear Lord Jesus, I need You. I've broke Your law. I've broke Your rules, and I'm sorry, but I believe You died on the cross for my sins. Won't You save me today? Maybe you need to rededicate it. He's never moved. He's never moved. And if you're willing to come back, He says, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Maybe you just want a closer walk with Him. Maybe that's what He's doing right now, trying to draw America back, getting us by ourselves a little bit, wanting us to focus on Him. But praise God, Jesus is bigger, so we can always put our faith in Him. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, those that are listening today, I pray that You bless them. I pray You calm their fears and increase their faith. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. We will be back tonight. We will be back tonight at 7 o'clock. And I'm going to challenge you to do one thing now. Call somebody that's in your Sunday class, school class, or sits on your row and check on them and tell them you love them in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you tonight. Bye-bye.